Thank you very much, ladies. What a wonderful treat that was this morning. Our God is a great God. He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He sure is a lot of things, isn't he? Hallelujah for God. You know, what a day that's going to be. At last we see Jesus. Amen. You know, I got to thinking about that as they were singing that this morning, and I thought, wow, one day we're going to see him. When you see him, isn't it going to be great if you're bearing the mark of a disciple, bearing the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ? How good it's going to be when he asks, what'd you do with the life I gave you? And you can say, Lord, I did my best by the power of your Spirit to live a life that so pleased you that I'm bearing the marks that you bore. Well, this morning we're coming back to the series of messages, The Marks of a Christian, a True Disciple of Christ. And today we come to the fifth message in this series. And so far in this series, we've discovered four marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ. And the first is that we are to walk in the light. The second, that we're to give evidence that we've been cleansed by the blood. The third, we're to be obedient to our Lord's commands. The fourth, we're to be abiding in the light of God's holy word. Abiding in the light. I want to ask you a personal question this morning. God knows the answer, but I hope that as you're gathered here this morning before the throne of Almighty God, that if God was to say, brother or sister, did you abide in the light this past week? That you could hold up your Bible and you could say, yes, Lord, yes, I abided in the light this week. I read the word every day. You illuminated my life. You gave me your grace and your power. And Lord, more than that, you gave me something to share with somebody this week. Because every day that I read, there was a word, there was somebody you put in my path whom I could share what you had given me that very morning. Oh, I pray that you can do that. I cannot know any other way but to encourage you. You read the word of God. As Gwen said, this isn't the America that we grew up in. But by God, God's still on the throne. God is in control, and we are still God's people, and we can still say, thus saith the Lord. And so we need to be abiding in God's holy word. And today we're going to discover that we bear the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ, if we are doing righteous. I want you to take your Bible with me this morning, if you will, and open them up to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and you begin finding the 18th verse. And when you found it, if you are able, please rise as we honor the Lord with a reading of His Word. The Word of our Lord unto us from 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And this is what John writes, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Father, we just thank you for your word unto us this morning. It, oh Lord, as we just read here in this last verse, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Lord, there is a proof in our lives that we can give that we know you. And that is if we're doing the things that you would have us to do. Oh, Lord, as we go through this series, Father, I just pray in this day and in this hour of our lives, Lord, that we would yearn for more of you, that we would abide in your light, that we would walk in obedience. Lord, that we would be covered through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would be mindful of our Christian walk and of our Christian witness. Lord, may each of us say, oh, Father, so anoint me that the light of Christ's love and Christ's grace and Christ's mercy would so shine through me that I would be an encouragement to the brethren, but Lord, that I would be a light, a vessel that you can use to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. I want you, as we begin here this morning, to again note verse 29. And family and friends, we can claim we are true disciples of Christ if we bear the mark of doing righteous. And I also want you to note how this mark connects to the first four. We cannot be doing righteous if we do not walk in the light, the light of God's word. We cannot be doing righteous if our sins have not been covered by the blood. We cannot be doing righteous if we do not obey God's commands. You know, we say this verse all the time, and it needs to be repeated all the time. We're to be doers of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. And I pray that you're very active in your walk with God. I pray that you're an active Christian, that God would not find you sitting down just rusting out. I pray when the Lord comes, as the Lord looks down in heaven, he finds you just flat wearing yourself out for Jesus Christ. We need to be doing what our God commands, and we cannot be doing righteous, friend, if you are not abiding in the light of God's holy word. This is a magnificent word. It's a holy word. It is a word that lives and breathes, and a word that can transform our lives, a word that can encourage us, a word that can lift us up. Oh, my God, he is our strength. He is our all in all. Amen? Oh, I just praise God this morning. Now, while each of the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ, is separate and distinct, I want you to please note how each one relates to the other. To make the child of God complete, to make the child of God whole in him. And that's exactly what the Holy Bible teaches in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17. And we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brings me to a question this morning, family and friends. Are you allowing the Spirit of God through the power of His written word to instruct you in doing righteous? Why do we ask? Because the fifth mark of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ, is that they are found doing righteous. I want you to know something this morning. Webster's dictionary defines righteousness as acting in a just and upright manner, doing what is right, what is good, what is excellent, and what is satisfying. And so you see, Webster says that doing righteous is satisfying. And if you stop and think about it, how true that is. Now, I'm sure all of us, no matter how rascally you may be, I'm sure all of us at one time or another have felt the good, warm, satisfying feelings that flood over us when we have helped someone in need. Why do we get those emotions? Why do we have those feelings? Because the Spirit testifies to our soul that we've done good. Now, don't you like it when you do good? Boy, when you do good, you're a sweet thing, aren't you? God's pleased. I can just see the smile of God in heaven. But boy, when we do bad, we a stanky thing, and nobody likes a stanky thing. But anyway, we all know that sin doesn't satisfy because we've not done righteous. When we sin, when we fail, when we fall short of that which God has determined that we should be doing, well, then we have a different type of emotion. We feel the emotions of guilt and of shame and all that junk. Because that's all it is. It's just junk. Junk we bring on ourselves because we didn't do good. Some people get rebellious at heart, don't they? They just look up at God and they say, God, I know what you said, but I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. Well, that's rebellion, friend. You know, J. Vernon McGee said regarding sin, rebelliousness, if you go out and paint the town red tonight, tomorrow night, you're going to need a bigger bucket. Because sin never satisfies. But righteousness does. With sin comes remorse. With sin comes guilt. With sin comes shame. With sin comes junk. Amen? And that leads many to lie, seeking to cover up all that junk. Sin leaves you with no peace of mind, no peace of heart, no peace of soul. Now let's contrast that with righteousness. Righteousness leaves us with peace. It leaves us rested. It leaves us joyful because we know and the Spirit testifies to our soul, we've done good. We've done something that pleased our Heavenly Father. Can I ask you a question? Are you living your life every day so that every decision that you make is one? You're living it with this in mind. Lord, thank you for another day of life. And in this day, Lord, may it be recorded about my life that I live so as to please the Lord. That's a lofty goal, isn't it? But I pray that's how you're living life, that you wake up of a morning, if God gives you another morning, and the very first thought that comes to your mind, Lord, thank you for another page on the journal of my life, that, Lord, just let me live this day through the power of your Holy Spirit in such a way that everything I do would be pleasing unto you. Oh, that's righteousness, friends. That's how we please the Heavenly Father. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about righteousness and doing righteous? Proverbs 10:2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Proverbs 10:24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Proverbs 10:30, the righteous shall never be removed. So Webster says that righteousness is doing that which is good, excellent, and satisfying. And God says that the righteous shall know gladness and shall receive the desires of their heart. Can we not concur then that there is a lot of value and a lot of profit that in doing that which God would have us to do, that which is acceptable in his sight. You know, that's what the Bible teaches that we're to be all about. You don't have to read very far in the New Testament. Just get yourself to the book of Romans. And the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's ask this question this morning. How do we obtain this wonderful quality of righteousness? Well, I want you to know right off the bat, it certainly does not come to us by our own works. After all, the Bible says, Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It does not come to us by our own works. Rather, it comes to us in the same way it came to Abraham, by belief. Belief in what God has said to us in His holy word. Do you realize the Bible says of Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 15 and 6. And so, that's how it happened in the Old Testament. But what about today? What does the Bible say about us living in the age of grace in these New Testament times? This is what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for He made Him who to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I ask you a question, do you believe that? Do you believe what God is saying here in His Word, that by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are made the righteousness of God in Him through repentance and faith? You know what Jesus said, unless he repents, he shall likewise perish. Through repentance and faith. You believe it? The only way you or I can obtain righteousness is by believing what God has said to us in His Word. To not stress the importance of His Word in your life and how much you need to be in God's Word. God spoke to Abraham, and he believed, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And today, God is speaking to us through His Word for two reasons. One, to get lost men and women to come to Him in faith. And two, to encourage those who are Christ, who are saved, to bear the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ. Family and friends, God desires that He could count every man and woman who ever walked the face of this earth as righteous, and that righteousness is found only in Him. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever stopped? When you've been reading the Bible right there at Genesis 6 and 8, to ask God, God, why Noah? Of all the people on the face of the earth at that time, why is Noah the only one who found grace? Well, it's very simple if you ever study the life of Noah. It's because Noah had a heart for God. He had a heart that believed what God said and what God had created and what God had shown Noah throughout his life. And what God had shown Noah, Noah believed, so that Noah had a desire to do that which was good and excellent and satisfying. And in a world of iniquity and wickedness, Noah found grace. Can I ask you this morning, are we not living in a world of iniquity and wickedness? Yes, we are, and you know it. Only a fool would say we're not. We're living in that kind of a world today. Where do we find grace? We find grace in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And Jacob, it seems, after a lifetime of trying to cheat people, deceive people, lie to people, I mean, he was a scallywag. And all the way you can talk about Jacob, just a scallywag. But after a long time, he learned to repent and give all that up. He believed what God said in His Word. When God said, for all sin comes short of the glory of God, Jacob looked into that. He heard that in his heart, and he said, you know what, God? you're absolutely right. I've been trying to cheat my way through life. I've been trying to deceive my way through life. I've been trying to lie my way through life. Lord, I'm giving it up. I'm repenting of my sin, and I'm turning to God. And oh, they had themselves a wrestling match, didn't they, there by the brook Jabbok. But God won out in Jacob's life, and he believed in God, counted him among the righteous. Oh, friend, Rahab was a prostitute when confronted by the Israelite spies in her own home, believed that God had a plan for her that was far greater than any plan she could ever conceive for herself. And she made the choice to hide God's spies, and God counted it to her for righteousness. So much so, do you realize that Rahab is only one of four women mentioned in the genealogy of Christ? Moses chose to believe God rather than enjoy the riches of Egypt, and God counted it to him as righteousness, and God raised Moses up to be one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Mosaic Law. Joshua believed God, and he stood at his door, and he challenged all Israel, and he challenges us today. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I ask you a question, hypothetical question, hypothetical scenario. What would you do if everything that's on the streets of America right now showed up on your door? Would you stand up and be counted for the God? Would you shout as Joshua must have shouted, "You choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord"? It's time in America for Christians to stand up. But God counted it to him for righteousness. King David, true enough, he committed some big sins, didn't he? Oh, you just read the Bible. God just lays it out there. That's how I know God wrote this book. See, God just paints a portrait of a man and woman, warts and all. If man wrote this book, David looked like a pretty flower. But God wrote this book, and he laid it all out, and David committed some big ones. Yet he believed in the grace and mercy of God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Isaiah said, "I am a man of unclean lips." Yet when God spoke to his heart, he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Andrew, when he was confronted by the Son of God, believed Jesus was exactly who he said he was, and he went and he found his brother Peter, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Peter, who denied God, wept bitterly, yet he believed that God had the power to forgive him, and God had the power to restore him, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And you know, then there was Mary. She was caught in the very act of adultery, brought naked before Jesus, surrounded by all of her accusers. And Jesus, he knelt down and he began to write in the dirt. And then he said, "He who is without sin," in other words, he who thinks he's righteous enough, "let him cast the first stone." And you know what? None did. They all just dropped their rocks and walked away. That'd be a good message for America today, wouldn't it? Time to drop your rocks. Time to repent. Time to get right with God. Time to drop the rocks. And Jesus looked at Mary. I can just imagine the tenderness with which he beheld this dear child. And he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" He said, "I don't know, Lord." Can you imagine how Mary must have felt when she heard Jesus say, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And in that very moment, she gave her heart to Jesus, and God counted it to her for righteousness. Saul was a murderer. He was a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. He was confronted by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He saw that light. I don't know if that's where Johnny Cash got the inspiration to write that song, "I Saw the Light," or not. But Saul saw that light. His name became Paul. He believed in what God was saying to him, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Do you get the picture, family and friends? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Every person mentioned came to faith by doing something very important. They believed God's word, and then they acted upon it. Every one of them became doers of God's word, not a hearer only. Do you believe God's word? More importantly, do you do what God says in His word? The only way we can obtain righteousness is by believing in the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus can say, and I can stand here in this pulpit and proclaim what Jesus said. If you're listening today and on the live stream or right here in this sanctuary, you need to know this. There are not many roads to heaven. There is only one way. Jesus is the way. I am the truth. I am the life, the truth, and I'm the only way to God. Amen? John 14:6. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way to get home to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Look again here at verse 29 in our text. He says, if ye know that He is righteous. I stop and think about that. The only way that we can know that He is righteous is if we believe in Him, if we have accepted Him, if we have repented and trusted in Him by faith, then we can know that He is righteous. Watch what it says here. He says, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Born again. Born of Him. What is God saying? He says that if we believe in God and His righteousness, if we've truly given our heart to Him, we will be found doing righteous. Apostle James wrote, faith without works is dead. He wrote this, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? And what James is referring to is that which plagues Christianity today. That is, that mere intellectual assent or agreement with Christian teaching is all that one needs for eternal life. Family, friends, that's just head knowledge. Don't buy that Kool-Aid. There are a lot of people who have. That's just head knowledge. It's not heart knowledge. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto salvation. Make no mistake, without a heart knowledge of who God is, and one does not possess saving faith. And without saving faith, one cannot be found doing righteous. And what God is teaching us is that true and genuine faith transforms our conduct as well as our thoughts. If we believe that He is righteous, our conduct and our thoughts will be transformed, and we will be found bearing the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ. We are going to be found doing righteous, not by our own strength, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. We have an unction, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Now watch this, because everything I'm about to share with you, you can read about in God's Word. Enoch's righteous act was this. The Bible tells us in Genesis 5, that Enoch walked with God. Can you picture yourself being Enoch today? Could God say of you that you walk with God? Because you live right here with God and His Word. You wake up in the morning and you say, praise God, it's morning. Oh Lord, let me live a life that pleases You today. How are You going to do it? You get right here with God and you walk with God every step of the way. I can just picture this because I like to walk. I like to get out and go. But I just picture God and Enoch walking together, and then the day came when God said, you know, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just come home with me? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Bible says that Noah believed God, and his righteous act was building the ark. Enoch's righteous act was walking with God, and God took him. Enoch was not, a picture of the rapture of the church. Noah's righteous act was building the ark, a picture of the coming tribulation and the saints that will be saved through that tribulation. Abraham believed God, and his righteous act was to believe that God would supply a lamb to take away the place of Isaac, whom he was given the command to go lay on the altar and slay the promised son. And God has supplied the lamb for all of God's people today to take away the sins of the whole world in Jesus Christ our Lord. Will your righteous act to believe in him? Rahab's righteous act was hiding the spies, and God made her a part of his family. Moses' righteous act was that he shunned the riches of Egypt, spent 40 years on the backside of the desert in order to become a useful tool for God. And then when he was ready, God used Moses to lead Israel out of bondage and right to the very edge of the promised land. Joshua's righteous act was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And he gave God's people an example of one who continually sought to do God's will as he stood and challenged them, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." King David's righteous acts, friends, are best seen in the fact that he believed the grace of God would cleanse him of every sin. And nowhere in the Scriptures, when David repented, do we find David going back and committing the same dumb thing over and over again, as so often is done today. David understood repentance. He understood that God could forgive. He understood if we confess our sins that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, if you've been cleansed by the hand of God and the power of God from all unrighteousness, how can you go back and do the same dumb thing over? You've been cleansed by the power of Almighty God. You've been transformed by the power of God. Isaiah's righteous act, when God called, "Whom shall I send?" He said, "Lord, here I am, send me." And God did. And Isaiah became one of the leading prophets in the nation of Israel. Over and over and over again, the Word of God teaches us that those who truly believe in the righteousness of God are found doing righteous in their lives. Family and friends, true faith believes in the righteousness of God. He is holy. He is righteous. And that faith, belief, leads the true disciple to do righteous in their life. Excuse me. Righteousness comes to us when we truly believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that belief is seen through repentance and faith. As we close this message, allow me to ask you, are you doing righteous? As you take just a moment to review your life this past week, if you were to ask God that question, "God, have I done righteous this week?" How would God answer that? Is your life filled with peace, joy, and rest that comes from knowing that your actions are pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Friend, is your life filled with His righteousness, and are you doing righteous? Because the fifth mark of a Christian, the true disciple of Christ, is that they are found doing righteous. Look at verse 29 again. "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. May it be said of us that we are doing righteous. Father, we thank you for your word unto us today. We thank you for the power of your word and your grace that is available unto all through your word. Lord, you've said that your word never goes out void. And Lord, so we're confident this morning that your word has gone out to your people. And I pray, Father, that we be encouraged today to be found doing righteous. And Lord, as we examine our hearts and our souls, our thoughts, our actions, our words over this past week, that if there was any day, any hour, where we were not doing that which you have asked, we would first of all understand that we broke fellowship with you. The second, Father, that we would understand that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, there are times when you call us to the altar, when you call us to a deeper repentance, because, Lord, we all know it's just so easy to say, Father, forgive me for my sins, and just move on with no thought, almost taking it for granted. Well, I know it's not our intent, Father, but sometimes we do that. But Lord, this morning, you're talking about a seriousness that comes with it. And Lord, I just pray that we've heard your word. Lord, we pray for those who are lost this morning. We pray, Father, that they would come to true faith in Christ. We pray especially for those who think they're saved but truly are not, because all they've done is just go along with intellectual consent. They have a head knowledge of you, but not a heart knowledge. And Father, we pray this morning that your word would go forth and encourage them to a heart knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we pray this morning for those who've not yet joined the church, whom you brought here and whom you are calling. Lord, we pray that today would be the day that they would come and join the church. Lord, whatever the need be today, in just a moment, the altar is going to be open. Lord, we pray that people will come today. We pray for those who are listening on the live stream this morning, they're right there at home, that they would get down on their knees, that they would begin to ask God to do a mighty work in their life. And for all of us, as we look at the landscape of our country, it would be very easy to grow discouraged, but no matter what takes place, we never need to be discouraged, because all we need to remember is that God is in control and Jesus Christ is coming soon. Father, today we pray in the name that stands above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, you come and lead us in song this morning. And if God has spoken to your heart, you come. You come. You're unable to kneel at the altar. The front pew is open, so you may sit. But you come this morning because God wants to do a work in this church.
Let's stand, please. Just as I am and without plea, but that thy blood shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse its spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Don't forget to come back out tonight for our evening service, and Brother Jay Hawkins, would you come and close our service in prayer today, sir?